All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our good buddy, Craig Button. What's happening, Craig?
Not much, but, you know, Jamie has taught me well. So I have to ask Jamie this. So, you know, one of the things that he talked about was goaltending on a goal. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Jamie, but you've said to me three things. What did you do wrong that is going to create problems for you in the future? What could have you done differently? And right. It was simply not your fault. So would Vasilevskiy on that shot be in the middle category? You know, what could have you done differently? Because you can't really blame him, and it's not like it was, you know, not a great play by Marner.
Right. You know what? Like, coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's basically those three. Coulda had it, shoulda had it, and would have had it if you did something differently. And I think it does fall in the middle. Because when anytime a goaltender gets scored on a rebound, you're always going, okay, what could you have done better on rebound control? But in this instance, I got to be honest. Sometimes you just tip a cap and go, hey, that was a really, you know, that was a hell of a play. Like, you know, it that was the equivalent. Sometimes a guy walks in and puts it bar down in a perfect spot, and you're like, sometimes the shooter just deserves, you know, all the love, all the praise.
He got it off quick, too, didn't he? And it was mid-stride. Like,
right.
That's the way it looked like to me. And, I mean, the significance of Matthews scoring the winner, Craig, you think you could script it any better if you're the Maple Leafs?
No. No, you couldn't. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we got a 60-goal score, and, you know, you saw what happened in games 3 and 4. So, to put those behind you, and, you know, Jeff's a golfer. I always talk about the playoffs being like match play golf. Just because you had a bad hole on 3 and 4 doesn't mean you need to have another bad hole on 5. Auston Matthews made sure on hole 5 in this series, to use a golf analogy, he put it behind him, and he aced the hole. He aced it, and Toronto's up 3-2.
With Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. Are you going, Hero, or what's going on with you, man? There's things ringing over there. And
hello, I can't hear anything.
Yeah, it's all
go
good.
Go ahead. I'm not. Go ahead.
No? Okay.
No, go ahead.
All right. Moving on.
Can I jump in here? Let me
please
jump
do.
In.
Please do, yes.
Okay,
ahead.
Craig, so when you're watching that game last night, I mean, where was your headspace in the first 20 minutes of the Leafs? So, you know, Brian laid it out. You know, the fan base was quiet. You could see that Kucherov was dancing. Stamkos gets a goal. Hedman gets a goal. Did you just think that it was Tampa going to roll, or did you feel that at some point the Leafs were going to have a pushback, or they were going to have a pushback?
Well, I think that you always believe that a team is going to have a response, and I certainly believe good teams are going to have a response. I certainly think that. You know, watching the first period unfold, I was like, wow, oh boy. Like, this is something that, you know, if Tampa Bay scores a third goal there, I think it's curtains. I think it's curtains for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they never got the third goal. And, you know, I was surprised, Jamie. I was surprised by the way that Tampa came out, and again, right from the opening shift, dictated how they were going to play and dictated the tempo, the pace, the terms of engagement. And Toronto was really like a deer in the headlights. But then, okay, so you expect it. I think there was three seminal moments in the game, you know, outside of the Auston Matthews winning goal, but three seminal moments in the game that really the Toronto Maple Leafs and good teams have to recognize when an opportunity comes across your plate. Number one, the penalty for too many men on the ice. They scored on the power play, and Tavares gets credit for the goal. Number two, it's 2-1 in the third period, and Tampa Bay is going on a power play. And Steven Stamkos takes that penalty, and they don't score 1 4-on-4. They score 2 4-on-4. And then the Jack Campbell save after Ryan McDonough had tied it up 3-3, I thought that was an unbelievable, brilliant save to keep it at 3-3. Because if Kucherov scores there, I'm thinking, Tampa Bay is able to assert their control again. And Jack Campbell didn't let them, and then obviously we know what happened on the winning goal. But good teams have to recognize, okay, we weren't very good. We know that after the first period, and you're gonna have a response. But you also have to recognize when the opportunities come and take advantage of them. I thought Toronto did both those things.
Craig, can you take us inside, like, the final hurdle here? Everybody talks about getting over the hump, and they still got to go back into Tampa and close this thing out. Just the mental battle of actually closing it out, what goes into it, and the thought process, the demons running through your mind, and what you got to do to overcome that.
Do you know what I always believe, Jeff? I believe you got to talk about it. I don't believe you don't talk about it. I believe you go right in there and talk about it. And you say, hey, listen, we've been
in this spot before. The players themselves or the coach?
Yeah, players and the coach. Let's get it all out on the table. Like, you know, like to me, like everybody's thinking about it. So what are you going to do, pretend it's not happening? Like you talk about demons and the boogeyman and everything like that. Hey, guys, it's 3-2. We've been in this spot before. We didn't like the way we ended up. Hey, we got a great opportunity here tomorrow night. What do we got to do? Let's get after it. Let's go after them. Let's play. You know what? How exciting will it be to win a series, and how excited will the city be? I believe in talking about it. I don't believe in kind of, oh, boy, let's pretend it's not happening. Get out there. This is what you play for. You play to win a playoff series. You've talked about it for a year. I go back to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got swept by Columbus, and they have to wait a full year to come back and try to redeem themselves. That's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, your opportunity is on Thursday night. Let's go after it. Let's go in there with a – let's leave Tampa Bay in a blaze of glory, knowing we're on to the next series. But let's talk. Don't sit there and pretend it's not there, because it is there.
Yeah, it is there, and it's been there for a long time. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's not an elephant in the room. Everyone knows it. It's your history. You've all been there before. And you head down to Tampa, and the math would suggest Tampa punches back tomorrow. They've won 16 in a row in the playoffs in the last two-plus years, coming off a loss. And the way the series has played out, it's Leafs win, Tampa wins. Leafs win, Tampa wins. But if there's a few things that I would hope that they carry over tomorrow night. Obviously, Tavares and Nylander have to play like they did last night. They were outstanding in the second and third period. And Matthews, the way he played with physicality, I think is very important. I thought that was a big message for his team last night. He had 7 registered hits. A couple of them were big hits. You're not going to get the same response from the fans in Tampa, clearly, that you got from Toronto. But there is no reason he cannot impose his will on this series physically. He's a big boy. He's capable of doing it. I thought that was a big part of the way he played last night.
Well, he did play that way, and he you know, from a skill point of view, he's a handful, and from a physical point of view, he's a handful. And you know, watching Austin Matthews last night, and Nylander and Morgan Riley and Marner and the group, Jack Campbell and Tavares, to me, the mindset was, we're not going to accept defeat. We're not accepting the defeat. You know, you want to win, you're going to have to find ways to be defiant. You know, even when things and obstacles are in your way. And so I think that's exactly what Austin Matthews and the group, that top-end group, did exactly that. They just said, we're not accepting defeat. Doesn't mean you might not lose, but they were not taking anything lightly. They went right after it. The other thing I would say about Game 6, and Bob Gainey said this to our group many, many years ago. He said, there's a tendency that when you're up 3-2 in a series and you know you have Game 7 at home, to think that Game 6 now is something that you got, you know, not that you got a freebie, but that if you don't win, it's okay, you're coming home for Game 7. And one of the things he always said was, you know what? Game 6, when you have a chance to close out a series on the road, is incredibly important. Because if you don't win Game 6 and you got to go home from Game 7, he said, all the pressure's on you now. All the pressure's on you now to win, because you're not at home in Game 7. You're at home in Game 7. You had a chance to close it out in Game 6. And so he would emphasize, and to the coaches and to the players, Game 6 is the most important game. Don't rest on having Game 7 at home. I think that's another big thing for the team to be looking at going into Game 7. Game 6, excuse me.
With Craig Button, how much confidence do you believe is on that plane from Edmonton to L.A. featuring the Oilers right now?
How much confidence? Well, I mean, I think there has to be a level. I mean, number one, you have 97. 97 was just like Matthews last night. He was not going to accept defeat. And defeat cannot be laid at his feet. You know, because he was brilliant. He was unbelievable in that game. So, you know, as long as you have that guy on your side, I think you have a chance. And the LA Kings are a good team. And when I say a good team, they're a competitive good team, and they found a way to push back the Edmonton Oilers. I know they don't have Nurse, but if the Edmonton Oilers, like, understand that the game is going to start at the opening faceoff, not in the second period, not in the third period, I think they have a really good chance. And it's one thing that if you know that there's things you can do better, and I think the Edmonton Oilers know there's a lot of things they can do better, mostly show up for the first period, then I think that they should have confidence that they can win game six and come back to Edmonton with a chance to win it. They put themselves in this position, but I don't think that it's something that they can't overcome, even with Darnell Nurse being out.
Craig, sometimes there's different messaging and comments. When Connor McDavid says, when you score four, it should be good enough to win a playoff game, is there then he said, but apparently it's not. Is that like just frustrated, or what does that mean?
Yeah, I think it can mean a lot of things, Jeff, and you know, having been in the dressing room at times, frustration is certainly right after a disappointing loss, you know, manifest themselves in different ways. And I don't think that, I mean, I guess my belief is with Connor is that he wasn't trying to call out anybody or put a spotlight on somebody else's performance. I think he was saying that playoff hockey, when you score four goals, you should find a way to win. I don't think he's putting it on one player or one part. I think he was putting it on the whole team, saying, you know what? We scored four. We should have won that game, and we didn't. And there was many reasons why they didn't win that game. And that's the way I – maybe I'm looking at it with rose-colored glasses, but that's the way I choose to see Connor's comments, because – you know, there was a lot of areas of that game where you could look at different parts where you could say the whole team. Like, I mean, listen, the first period was abysmal. The overtime, they never touched the puck. And so Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they were all out there in overtime, you know. And, you know, you can look at, okay, back to the goaltending. We can look at, okay, could have he had this goal? Should he have that goal? Would he have had that goal? But I don't think he was pointing the finger at any one player or one area. I think he was saying, our team scoring four goals, we should win. I think that's what the message was, that it's collective that we got to be better. And I think that's fair.
With Craig Button here on Overdrive. So the Montreal Canadiens ended up winning the draft lottery last night. Is it a lock that they're going to take Shane Wright with that first pick, Craig? And if not, who else might be in the running? And how top-heavy is this draft? What kind of game-changer could the Habs be selecting first overall?
So here's what I would tell you, number one. I have no idea if it's a lock.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if I'm the Montreal Canadiens, it's a lock. I'm taking Shane Wright, but I don't think there's a better player in the draft. That's how I look at it. But I don't know. And you know what? The Montreal Canadiens are the ones that are going to make the call. There's a couple of things here. Every draft is different. Every draft has different styles of players, different top ends of players. And at the end of it, when I watch Shane Wright play and I watch the completeness of his game and I compare him to Patrice Bergeron, you know, I say this all the time. I've heard this so many times. It's just like, you know what else, something? Like, it's nauseating for me to hear this. Well, you know what? He doesn't have a wow factor. Oh, he doesn't have flash and dash. Yeah, good. Neither does Patrice Bergeron. And Patrice Bergeron is going to the Hall of Fame. And I ask you this question. Who doesn't want a Hall of Fame centerman? And to me, there's other good players in this draft, just like there is in other drafts. But I think Shane Wright's the best player available. And I'm going to go back to 1973. You know, Sam Pollock, the greatest GM that's ever been in hockey, he drafted a rugged checking winger from Peterborough, eighth overall, Bob Gainey. And everybody goes, oh, geez, why would they draft that guy? Because Sam said, I'm building a team. I need players that can help me win. Bob was named one of the best 100 players in NHL history. He had a trophy created because of his brilliance. Represented Canada on multiple occasions, five-time Stanley Cup champion. So, you know what? Go and get your wow factor and your flash and dash factor. This is about winning. Shane Wright helps you win.
If you had to critique Shane Wright, just his game, is there anything that needs to, you know, grow in it? Is it just the natural, you know, get stronger, get, you know, more aware, more experience, that type of stuff?
Well, Jamie and Jeff, you know this, that, you know, you come out of junior, you're good, you're talented, you have potential, but you're going to learn at every point in time. And that's no different for Shane or any player that's going to be drafted. You know, one of the things that I think at times for Shane, and you guys will probably laugh at me when I say this, I'd like to see him be a little more selfish. I think if Shane Wright was a selfish player, like a real selfish player, he'd have 140 points in the Ontario Hockey League. But that's not his MO. But I think there's times when he could be a little bit more selfish in a good way. Shoot the puck more, not be looking to set up a teammate. He understands the game so completely that, you know, he's always trying to make sure that he's doing the right thing. And he does do the right thing. But sometimes you got to be a little more selfish. And that's the thing I'd like to see Shane be a little bit more. And I think that'll come with maturity.
Craig, it's been great having you on. Before we get you out of here, at the top of your hit, you said, "Jamie, I always learn from you." Did that mean you never learn anything from Brian and I?
Why would you jump to that assumption?
Because it just felt like an assumption.
Well, Jeff, I would never call you sensitive, too sensitive, because that wouldn't be fair. But I learn from you all the time.
Okay, Hayes, that's all I needed.
I don't know how much I learned from Hayes, you know.
Every once in a while, I'll sneak something in that's intelligent, Craig. You just got to be listening for it. You got to find it.
You guys are great, okay? So we're talking about goaltending. I was talking about the three, the coulda, shoulda, woulda. Jamie does. But Jeff and Brian, you know, there's different times when I sit down and say, that, you know, that's a really good point. I've learned something today. And I try to apply it and use it in a lot of different areas of my life.
There you go. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to inform the masses. We're trying to educate. That's what we bring to the table. That's why they pay us. Thank you, Craig. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
There's Craig Button, our TSN Hockey Director of Scouting, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I think we educate. That's part of the whole process here.
Three of us learn from each other. We learn from everybody.